Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
Have a great time. So thrilled to see children in church and to know that they're not here to play, although we put some emphasis on obviously having a good time, but they're here to learn about the Savior's undying love. Praise the Lord for that. Would you take your Bibles this morning? I trust that you have a Bible. If you don't, that you'll look on maybe with somebody that's nearby that has one. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy. Our text verses this morning are going to be found in chapter 3. Book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. We're going to read the first 9 verses. I'd like you to notice them with me. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous there means dangerous. Paul speaks in the book of Corinthians about perils, and there's a verse filled with that word. He talks about perils here, perils there, perils there. And Paul put himself in a lot of danger for the sake and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's worth that. But God tells us that there's going to be a time where danger is going to actually define the days. Doesn't mean there's some danger there and there's some danger over here. There's always been danger in different places. But what he's saying when he says perilous times shall come, he means that danger is going to be everywhere. Verse number 2. "For men," and this is the reason for the danger, connect the two, "for men shall be lovers of their own selves." You see, the times become dangerous when we love our own selves. "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." Got lots of folks in the United States of America today that are defining that one phrase right there. They get up early and they'll travel a distance to go sit in some stands somewhere to go cheer on their team. What are they? Well, very clearly, they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Now I want you to notice this next phrase. Truly encouraging. "But they shall proceed no further. They shall proceed no further. For their follies shall be manifest unto all men as theirs, Jannes and Jambres, as theirs also was. So the title of the message this morning is a simple one, Not Another Inch. Not Another Inch. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for your undying love. Thank you, Lord, that we can see you by our imagination. We know it was a historical thing and it really did occur. But Lord, we can see you bearing our sin and our shame on the cross. And I thank you this morning that your sacrifice was more than enough. It's sufficient so that every man, woman, boy, and girl ever born into this world has the opportunity to come into the family of God. And so I pray if there is one this morning that does not know Christ as their Savior, they have no assurance or confidence based on the Word of God as to what will occur the moment after they breathe their final breath in this world. I pray they'll consider it this morning like they've never considered it before. And Lord, they can be born again today. And then I pray for believers all over this auditorium that, Lord, you will help our rally cry to be just this, not another inch. If I have anything to say about it, God helping me, the enemy will not advance any further in my life, in my family's life, in my community, in my society, in my state, in my country, Lord, not another inch. Please help us, change us, transform us in this short period of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone once said that football is a game of inches. Considering that a football field consists of 100 yards and that a yard consists of 36 inches, the statement may seem somewhat hyperbolic. Football fans, though, tend to grasp the point that the little things matter in the grand accounting of a football game. We have football fans here this morning? Football fans? I said a fan. He's just so proud of being a football player. Yeah, we know you're a football player. We know you play for Carl Albert, you know, and all that. Okay, I said football fans. It's good to be a fan if you play the game. That's good. Okay, I'll give that to you. Now, let's talk about life. A life made up of humanity is the centerpiece of creation. The miles that tend to separate victory from defeat and success from failure, the miles, consider this, are made up of inches. Miles of difference are easy to distinguish, but it's the keen, focused, eagle eye, we might call it, that can distinguish the inches. In terms of battle, the soldier on watch who is trained to watch for the little advances will not have to contend with an enemy that advances by miles because he sees the small advances. This morning, I'm troubled at the advance of the enemy of God in our society. And there are seemingly very few who can detect such an advance soon and seriously enough to deter such an advance. The characteristics of sinful man in general in our text passage are descriptive of the enemy's undetected, undeterred advance against his hated foe. It is almost as if some folks are thrilled, spiritually speaking, to bury their head directly under the sand. No clue what's going on in society. No clue what's going on in the world. No clue as to the spiritual warfare. No clue as to the destruction and the chaos that's going on in neighborhoods all over these lands. Just la-di-da-di-da along life's way seems to be much of the mentality. From the enemy's perspective, victory comes easier and easier as the days become more and more. I disagree with the so-called evolutionists who say things are just getting better and better. I see no evidence for that. My question this day is this: where are the folks who are able to discern these perilous times and are bold enough to declare, "Not another inch"? Where are they? Could I term it a little bit differently? Where are you? Where are you? Is there any figment of the imagination that would say the enemy's gone far enough in my life, in my family's life, in my children's lives, in my friends' lives, in my associates' lives, in my coworkers' lives, in my neighbors' lives, in my community's life? The enemy's gone far enough. Enough! He's taken enough ground. And I say, not another inch. I want to mention three things to you quickly this morning. Number one, I want to talk a little bit about the Stooges. You say, "Pastor Taylor, that doesn't sound very friendly." Well, the word stooge basically just means puppet. And I hate to say it, friend, but we've got a ton of puppets in our society. They're all over the place. But we see these stooges in our text passage. We can go through the list again and just go quickly through it. And when you think of these things, what you think of is a stooge, a puppet. There's another term that I think of when I think about these things. It's the devil's dummies. You know the ventriloquist, right? And he sits up there, you know, wherever, and he's got that little dummy, and you know, he just back here in his mouth, you know, and all that. It's amazing. But that dummy can't do anything in and of itself, can it? Mike. No, he's at the behest of his master. He's just a puppet. And there are lots and lots and lots of puppets, stooges, dummies, dare I say. I don't know. Some maybe really don't know any better. Others should know better. They just don't care to know any better. And we see this list. Men should be lovers of their own selves, puppets. Covetous, stooges. Boasters, proud. Blasphemers. We can go through the entire list. What are these folks? They're stooges. They're puppets. They're the devil's dummies. They're Satan's dummies. Have y'all seen that thing? I love to see it. And I don't know who came up with it originally, but it really makes a ton of sense. And I see it in Israel. Weak men produce. Anybody know? Yeah. Bad or difficult times. Think about it. A puppet. A dummy. What does he produce? Bad times. Difficult times. Difficult times produce strong men. Strong men produce good times, prosperous times. Prosperous times produce weak men. Right on back to the dummies again. And I don't know exactly where we are in the cycle this morning, but I see a whole lot of dummies. I'm just trying to be real with you. I'm trying to level with you this morning. By the way, if you're offended, maybe it's because you fear you're filling the role. You have to answer that for yourself. Say, preacher, are you calling me a dummy? No, I would never call you a dummy. You've got to come to terms with that in your own life. Am I a puppet? Am I a stooge? Do I just march to the beat of Satan all the way to the fire of hell? Or have I had my moment where I've done an about face and I've said, not another inch? You understand what I'm talking to you about this morning? I'm talking about the stooges in society. God lays them out. It's not just men, it's both men and women. But let me pick on the men first, because that's who God picks on first. And they're the leaders, or at least we're supposed to be men. He talks about foolish men. Foolish men. What are foolish men? They are stooges. You say, how do you define that exactly? Well, I define it the way God defines it. Psalm number 14, verse number 1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You got to be a real dummy to say there is no God. There are so-called scientists now in our days that are like, no, that one just doesn't work. It doesn't work. There is no God. A child can understand very clearly there is a God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. By the way, this is what comes out of the mentality that there is no God. That's why our children that grow up in our communities act the way they do. Are you putting it together? 2 Timothy chapter 3, four men shall be. What kind of men are these? These are foolish men that don't believe in God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. See, in some ways, we're all in that same boat, or at least were in that same boat. I praise the Lord, I was till I was 6 years old. Then I knew. I didn't just know there was a God, I knew God. And I know Him today. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. Why do folks desire to devour other people? Not necessarily literally, but we could go all the way into those societies that go so far from God that they literally eat people. Israel was there. There have been other societies that have been there. Do you think that we're so special in the United States of America that we can't get there too, folks? Huh? We've gone so far in the last 20 years. Just in 20 years. And you think we won't get there? We seem to be on a collision course. Stooges. Weak men. Foolish men. The book of Romans chapter 1. Verses 22 and 23 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You say, I would never worship the image of a bird or a beast or a creeping thing. Yeah, but many of us worship the image of a man. And could I tell you who we're best at worshiping the image of a man? The one that we look in the mirror at. There's your image, you idol worshiper. I'm preaching to myself this morning. We love to worship that image. Oh, I love this image. I'll do anything for this image. We're idol worshipers. We like to think we're better than those that bow down to some statue or bow down to some animal or some image of that. No, we're no better. We're no better because nothing lines up with the glory of God. Nothing. He is the one that must be worshipped. He's the one that's due all of our worship. But foolish men, they deny God. They deny His existence. They deny the accountability that He demands. They proceed as if God does not precede. Did you catch that? They proceed, they go on in life as if God did not precede, as if God was not at the beginning of it all. As if they don't understand that God's always existed in eternity past. Not just that He'll always exist in eternity future, but that He's always existed in eternity past. Oh, what a mighty God! Do you have anything that can compare? Do I have anything that can compare with one who can speak the word and create the world? I'm talking about the glory of God. But foolish men, no, I don't believe in God. And if they don't say it, they live like it. And that's why their actions are what they are. So you have foolish men. Well, who does a foolish man need? Yeah, but the Bible calls her silly. Foolish men need silly women. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. I have seen this over and over and over and over and over again in my life. Now, I'm a young man, okay? So maybe time will tell me something a little different. But somehow I suspect it won't. People get what they are. People get what they are. I'm talking about relationships now. You say, Pastor, you just don't understand, man. My wife is silly. That may have some indication on you, bud. Wife may say, you just don't understand, Pastor. My husband, he's a fool. May have some indication on you. You chose him, didn't you? Now, what can occur is a fool and a silly can get together, and one will see the light of day and no longer be a fool. But then you still got silly to deal with. And it can happen the other way as well. Silly sees the light of day, now silly's got a fool to deal with. I've seen it over and over and over again. And we laugh at the word silly. I don't know who came up with that word. But really, we don't even have to know really the definition of it. We understand. I was thinking of the commercial. Remember the commercial? Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids. This is kid stuff. Did you know what they said? Tricks are for kids. Are you making the connection this morning? A silly woman is one who falls for simple tricks. Say, Pastor, say a little bit more about that. Thank you. I'm so glad to do it. Book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Pastor, how do I know that I've truly graduated from fool and silly status? When we can begin to measure ourselves against Christ and we see more and more and more and more of Him in our lives. That's when we know. Verse number 14, Ephesians chapter 4 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Sleight. What do they do when they do tricks and so-called magic? Sleight of hand. Brother Matt gets up here when he preaches on Sunday nights. You ought to come on Sunday nights when he preaches, and I'm not going to tell you when he is. You just got to show up. But typically before the message gets started, he does some sort of a magic trick for the kids primarily on Sunday nights. And it's sleight of hand. And children fall for the sleight of hand. And sometimes I do too. The Bible says, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They lie in wait to deceive. Do you get the picture? He's talking about these evil men that he gives us a description of in the very first part of the chapter. And then he talks about them creeping. Creeping into houses. Taking captive silly women. Pastor, don't call me a silly woman. I'm not. The Bible. It's the Bible. And if a foolish man can creep into the house and take you captive, God says you're silly. Is that fair to say? I mean, I'm trying to preach the Bible this morning. I'm not attempting to offend anybody. I'm talking about not another inch. And how does the enemy go about doing his work? Well, he's got to have some foolish men and some silly women. Silly women are captivated by creeps. Yep, they're a bunch of creeps. What's a creep? He's a sneak. He's sneaky. He's not honest. He's deceptive. Girl, he knows exactly what you want to hear. He's learned after dealing with a whole bunch of silly women, and he can detect you to be silly too. He knows just what to say. He knows just the right words to use. For you know it, you've been made to look really silly. Silly women are captivated by creeps who struggle to commit. A sneaky man will find all kind of reasons not to commit to God first. Ladies, I wouldn't deal with a man that's not committed in action to the Lord Jesus Christ. If he won't commit to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is supreme, he is all glorious. What makes you think he's going to commit to you? You are not supreme, you are not all glorious. You may think you're fine, a bag of chips and all the rest of that kind of stuff, but I'm just here to tell you. I'm just here to tell you there's a lot of fine bag of chips people in this world. I'm trying to level with y'all so you understand. Can you understand the message this morning? So a silly woman is captivated by creeps. She's challenged by divers lusts. Challenged by divers lusts. I like what the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse number 3, has to say about this. It says, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. He says that's what we were before we got born again into the family of God, before we buried our face in the book, the Word of God. This was our description. But a silly woman who will get in the book will know how to detect a foolish man and will say, I have no time for you. No time. No energy. No money. I got nothing for you. But silly women are challenged by divers lust, all various types of filth and false philosophies. All the junk that's everywhere, because we live now in this internet age, you can find it anywhere. And if you're not careful, it'll find you. It's that close. It's all around us. And so there's divers lust all around, false philosophies. Well, let me tell you what it means to be a feminist. No, why don't you listen to what God says it means to be feminine? How about that, ladies? And how about we learn what God says when He says that a man ought to be masculine? You say, that's just your opinion, preacher. No, God says there are some men that are effeminate. Check it out in Romans chapter 1. You say, what are those men? They're fools, is what they are. A fool. Foolish men, silly women. Well, they get together. They go good together. Silly women are captivated by creeps. They're challenged by divers lusts. They're changed short of truth. This is so scary, but it's so real in the day and age in which we live. Hear me. They're changed short of truth. Women have become, in this age, this is just my opinion, but I think probably statistics would bear it out, more knowledgeable about things, more aware about things than they've probably ever been. Certainly in the United States of America. You know why? Christianity liberates women the right kind of way. You understand what I'm telling you? God wants a woman to be able to read the Bible, to know God personally. Now, ladies, we found out in Sunday school that a wife is to be in submission to her husband as unto the Lord, but we also know based on Scripture that we ought to obey God rather than men. That applies to the husband as well. No, I got God's word saying that I'm not supposed to do that, or that I am supposed to do that. Therefore, sorry, husband, but you've been usurped by God. Women are wise, wiser than they've probably ever been in our society, but short of truth. They've changed, boy. Wow, man, these new women, man, they're amazing. They're amazing. All the neat things that they can do and how they can make themselves pretty for like 80 years and all this kind of stuff, you know, they can do. It's amazing. But they're changed short of truth. Satan doesn't mind. Go ahead, change. Yeah, I want you to live in a nice house and I want you to have your own things and I want you to think for yourself and all of that. Just don't come to the truth. That's it. Satan loves it. And as somebody said recently, you just become a more intelligent sinner. That's all. And a more intelligent version of silly. Anybody seen these so-called stars? Name them. Stars. Silly. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. They're so successful. Yeah, they're successful, silly women is what they are. Silly. You can't take them seriously. Silly means small. You treat them like they're a kid. And the folks that want to look in their lives and read all about them and all that, why? You must just be just as silly to be following after this dummy. I'm talking about a stooge, and want to be just like them. Are you awake? Do you understand right from wrong, good from evil, light from darkness? You say, you're being hard this morning, Pastor. I honestly don't intend to, but this is real. We need to have in our hearts and our minds, not another inch, Satan. Not another inch, society. We've allowed you to take too much ground already. You've got no more ground. You'll proceed no further if I have anything to say about it. So there are the stooges, and then number two, there are the stages. I want to go through this rather quickly because we've just about run out of time. But I want you to think about these stages back in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The first stage is religious. Religious. You know, it's natural for people to be religious. It's natural for people to worship something, someone. That's built within. Do you know, friend, this morning that we were created to worship? We were literally created to worship the one that should be worshiped. That makes sense? But there are some stages, and so religion is the first one that we see right here in our text passage. We find it there in verse number 5, having a form of godliness, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The form looks good. As I told somebody recently, the house looks good. Spiritually speaking, that house, man, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Looks good. Here's the problem. Foundation is not good. The foundation is sinking sand. And I could care less how beautiful, spiritually speaking, now think about this, how beautiful your house may look, how well you think it's constructed. If it's on sinking sand, it will be destroyed. It's only a matter of time. Give it a little time. Give it a little time. That family that seems like, oh, they're good people. They're spiritual people. But they don't believe in that old archaic book called the Bible. They don't believe you got to go to church. Oh, but they're good people, Pastor. You just don't understand. No, you don't understand. Their house is on sinking sand. Give it a little time. Give it just a little time. James chapter 1 verse 27 talks about pure religion. And I'm not against all religion. I'm against all false religion. Because there is something called pure religion. And it comes from Him who is pure, the Lord God. So it goes from religious to resistant. Do we not see these things in our society? Folks, it wasn't 60 years ago, and I'm not that old, but you can see remnants. Our society, people were by and large religious. They did religious things. They had religious manifestations in their lives. They were religious, but then it becomes resistant. And we find out because as a church, we go out into the community and we knock on doors to try to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And first it was the religious, and you know, they would be respectable and might even call you, you know, if you're a pastor, they find out you're a pastor and those kinds of things. But then the resistance starts to come into play. And there's no longer that friendliness, and there's no longer that hospitality, and they could care less what church you're from. And really, you're just kind of bothering me, is at least the look on the face. It's resistant. Stephen said to a group of Jewish people in Acts chapter 7, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. And I'm thankful, I'm encouraged this morning that when I run into somebody who's resistant, they're not resisting me. They're just in a stage of life and they're resistant toward the Holy Ghost of God. So we go from religious to resistant. And if something doesn't change and another inch gets conquered by the enemy, the final level is reprobate. Reprobate. What does that mean? Reject. These are the kind of folks like what we ran into last week in a neighborhood just north of here where the lady said, "Why are you knocking on my bleeping door?" How about that? Oh, no, she was a sweet, silly lady. Why are you knocking on my bleeping door? You say, did she know y'all are from the church? Oh, yeah. What happened? Well, we went from religious to resistant, and now we're reprobate. We just all out reject the truth of the Word of God and anybody that represents it. I wonder if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, where you're at in your life. Are you religious? You think you're good? Well, you think your good works and your good neighborhood and your good degrees and all that good stuff, you think it's really gonna wow God, don't you? Is that what you think? No. God says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The best that we can do, God says, is filthy. The best that we can do. And see, some folks just never come to terms with that, and so they just think they're good, and the devil tricks them into being good all the way to the lake of fire. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15 that Saul rejected the word of the Lord, and guess what happened after that? God rejected him. Go ahead and be a reprobate and reject God. Go ahead. God will turn you over in your mind to a reprobate mind. You won't be able to turn around. You won't be able to make a pivot and say not another inch. You'll be doomed, and you'll be living in this world as a stooge, and you'll have no opportunity to turn around. Go ahead. Keep on fighting against God. So there are the stooges, there are the stages, and finally there's the stand. What do we need in our society? We need some believers, some Christians, some soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ to finally step up and stand up and say, not another inch. Not another one. Now, how do we make a stand? Quickly. Number one, God says, turn away. Turn away. 2 Timothy 3:5, from such, turn away. Doesn't mean we're not supposed to face our enemy, but the way to face our enemy truly and seriously is to not be like them. Do you hear me? Turn away from their path. Turn away from their philosophy, their stinking thinking. Get away. Flee. Leave it. Turn them off. Get them off the internet. Get them off social media. Get out of their churches. You say foolish and silly folks have churches? Oh, yeah. Now, I don't call it a church. And I don't think God does. But there's church on the sign. Turn away. Set the pace. I'm not going to be a follower. I'm not going to be a stooge. I'm not going to be a puppet. I'm not going to be one of the devil dummies. I'm going to set the pace for righteousness. If it's up to me, they're going to follow me, but I'm not going to follow them. Hey, enemy, you want to keep on being a dummy? Go right ahead. But I'm going this direction. You're welcome to follow, but my days of following you are done. Not another inch. Turn away. Number two, and I love this. I love this. This is so beautiful to me. Trust the process. Trust the process. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Look in verse number 9. Look at it. 2 Timothy 3:9. But they shall proceed no further. Now, I had to ask myself this question. And I've read the Bible through lots of times, cover to cover. But I ask myself about this. In context, when are they going to proceed no further? When will this occur? The enemy that will not go another inch, when does it occur? God says they won't proceed any further, right? We believe what God says. When does it occur? Well, there's indication of it in verse number 1. This know also that in the last days. Okay, God. All right, so in other words, there's going to be a period of time at the end. And right after that, God says, the enemy, I'm talking about enlarge, will proceed no further. Now, there's coming a day, Christian, and I want to encourage you about this. Even if we stand up like Joshua did. Hey, you choose who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And even if we do that, and we know that society around us is crumbling and people on their way to hell, we do our best truly, based on the Word of God, to try to keep them from going and come on, follow us to heaven instead and follow us to be a real believer in the Lord and all those sorts of things. But we know the way it's going to be, right? Because God says it's going to get worse and worse. So it's encouraging because after the last days comes the day. The day. You see it all throughout the Word of God, and God just simply calls it the day of Jesus Christ. What day is that? That's the day that He's going to come back to this earth, and He's going to stand up once and for all for righteousness. There will be a 1,000-year period where He'll rule and reign in Jerusalem, where all the turmoil is going on today. And at the end of that 1,000-year reign, the enemy will once again think, I can take some more ground, and Jesus will say, you're done! It's over! And Satan will be cast into the lake of fire once and for all. And they shall proceed no further. Now, how does it happen in the meanwhile? Can we say to ourselves, if it's up to me and my family, enemy, you go down to the next house because you're not taking another inch at this house. How do we make that happen? Well, we've got to expose the tactics and the tricks of the enemy. How do you expose the tactics and the tricks of the enemy? You just do right. Just do right. And the more we do right based on the Word of God, did you know that God has promises that go with the right kind of sowing? God says, if you sow righteousness, you'll reap it. And here's what happens. I don't want you to miss this. This is brilliant to me. Because we don't really have to do a lot. We think, boy, I got to go out here and, man. No. Trust the process. Just live a life of righteousness the best you know how, day by day, according to the Word of God. And then what happens is folks start to do a comparison. Your family will do a comparison. Your coworkers will do a comparison. Your friends will do a comparison. Strangers will do a comparison. And they'll say, when I match their life up to their life, I'd like to know what they're doing. Because it's clear they're messed up. And my question is, Christian, do people see enough of a difference between our life and their life that the enemy's tactics and tricks are exposed? Do you know what happened with Jannes and Jambres back there in the book of Exodus? Moses starts, well, actually Aaron really, but Moses is the leader, starts to do these miraculous things with the rod. And what does Pharaoh's Egyptians do? They do the same thing. And we're just as good as you are. And Aaron performs a miracle, and the magicians perform the same miracle. And over it goes until they can no longer duplicate it. No longer duplicate it. And see, the world and the lost and the unbeliever and the ungodly, they can duplicate a whole lot of stuff, but they cannot duplicate the truth. They can't duplicate the truth. And folks will do a comparison of those that live by the truth and those who do not. And it'll be pretty easy to see which path is better. Folks, I want to give you one final passage of Scripture. Look with me to Ephesians chapter 5, would you? We'll close. Thank you for your attention this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. God says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. In His death I see undying love. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once. Do you hear the standard, Christian? Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You know what that word become means? It means what somebody should expect of a saint. Are we living like we're a saint, or are we living like we're still a sinner? Positionally. That's what he's talking about. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. There's a stark difference here. For this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Oh, they're good people. They're okay. God will accept them. God is so loving. He'll accept anybody. Not what the Bible says. We're accepted based on the sacrifice and the receiving of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What about the love of God? What about the wrath of God? Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The proof is in the pudding. Live it. Prove it. And let others see the proof. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's a shame. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Notice this. The tricks, the tactics are now being made manifest by the light. Nothing special. Just live the right way. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Are y'all hearing me? They're foolish men and silly women, but we don't have to remain that way. We can be wise in the Lord, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God wants us to know His will. God wants us to accomplish His will. And there must be, oh God, help us. There must be a remnant, a man, a woman, a wise man, a holy woman. By the way, they go together like a fool and silly go together. A wise man and a holy woman who get together and get alone with God in their own house and in their own church and say, not another inch. If it's up to us. It's the rally cry for those who'd get together and combine to raise a godly seed. For the lost, not another inch is encompassed in the words of 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. God says He wants the servants of the Lord to help take those who've been taken captive by the enemy, that they can be free. Are you still in your sin this morning? Have you been born again? Truly, truly. Let's stop playing games. Let's stop being religious and find out how to be righteous in the eyes of God. Have you been born again? Have you woken up? Have you figured out the enemy wants your life and your children's life and your community's life and your society's life? He wants them all in hell where he's going to be one day. But you don't have to remain captive at the will of the enemy. You can understand the will of God and you can involve yourself in it, and God will be so good to you. He's such a good father. And he might even allow you to retake some ground. Oh, in my mind anymore, in Midwest City, Oklahoma, the surrounding areas, I don't have the mindset, not another inch anymore. Boy, I'm like, let me see if I can get one on you. I'm not just in a defensive mode anymore. I'm just telling you where I'm at as a pastor and as a believer. I'm not in it for the safe stuff. You understand? I'm ready to start taking back some of the ground that the enemy has taken in our society. You say, Pastor, you'll never accomplish it. Yeah, but I can try. I can try. And I love people enough. I love my family enough. I love your family enough. God loved the world enough that he made a way we could try. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying hold the line. If you're a believer, it's time. Hold the line. Not another inch. Not another inch. If you're an unbeliever, not another inch. Satan, I'm not going to allow you to keep on slow walking me to the fires of an everlasting hell, Satan. I'm not going to let you. I'm coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing what he did on my behalf by his death, burial, and resurrection. I'm putting my faith and trust in him. God will cause Jesus' righteousness to be on my account. And I can begin to live a life of light. Wise men, holy women, raising up a godly seed. What kind of family do you desire? What kind of family do you have? Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.